A little secret to revival that is transferable. We want to talk about it today. We're glad that you are with us. Well, welcome to All Things Apostolic for this Monday, October the 14th. Half of the month, approximately, is now over at the end of the day. And when you look back and realize that 10 and a half months, is that right? 9.5 months of the year are behind us. It's amazing how fast the time has gone by. But we've had a good time here and we're glad you're with us. We have good things to talk about. There's other things that aren't so good to talk about. You've got two hurricanes coming in that have created havoc and devastation in the southern United States. You've got all kinds of crazy things happening in terms of the rise of crime. You've got, I can give you a list of bad things. Last year, or maybe 2023 was the last year they have the records for, 44,000 people took their lives, committed suicide in America. Think about that. And the year before was almost the same. So what kind of hopelessness has got a hold of people that this would be part of their lives? This is the world we live in. We live in a world that has had a return to some of the wickedness of the past that was better known in just heathen lands. But now its ugly head has been raised up here in America. And all of those are things that we have to contend with, even some of them espoused by government officials and by educators. And it's just, it's lunacy. It's just the world we live in is just crazy. However, in all of that, the gospel still works. And in all of that, God's people are thriving and God is helping his people. And the church is growing by leaps and bounds. And we're excited about that. And it's not just a local thing. It's not just a national thing. It is a global thing that is going on. And I've just redocumented some of the growth of all of this in a new edition, the second edition of Apostolic Pentecostal Theology. The first edition is sold out, and so we're reprinting, and so we're also updating statistics that were in there. When that book was printed in 2016, it is now, those statistics have to be updated. So it's exciting to see what God is doing. And when you look back in the history of the church, you know that most of the time there has been tumult in the earth. Most of the time there has been all kinds of threats and risks that had to be taken. So we should not count ourselves as exempt from what people in the church have had to go through for centuries. And we just want to bear up and let God give us direction of what we ought to do in our lives in this day and continue forward. So we're very excited about the things that are happening. Some things that are happening, I can't even tell you yet, but I will be able to before long. There are wonderful things that are taking place, where things God is doing and things with Wilson University and other things. Somebody asked me recently if they gave you time to talk about what you're doing and about Wilson University and about Hope Corps and about all these things, what would you talk about? And I said, well, if you were talking about the leadership aspects of Wilson University and the purpose of it to develop world-class leadership, then I would probably say that to have effective, sustained success in all things apostolic, to have that requires certain things. And one of the things it requires is being able to bring about an atmosphere that you walk in, a kind of apostolic bubble. And that another way of saying that would be more Pauline, more scriptural, would be walking in the Spirit. And so everywhere you go, you're walking in the Spirit. There's an environment that you have found. It's a spiritual environment. It's an invisible thing, but it's an environment that you walk in. And it is a controlled climate that you walk in. And in that, there is opportunity for God to speak to you. It blocks out much of the interference that comes and creates static in your relational connectivity with spiritual revelation. And then spiritual revelation can come to you. And instead of the outside penetrating into you and creating chaos so that there cannot be this upward connection to revelation, it's the opposite. Revelation sweeps down into that spiritual walking in the Spirit cocoon, and that spiritual revelation emerges out and pushes back the forces that are confusion that is causing a lot of things to happen that's happening in our world that I just mentioned a brief few of them in our introduction today. So having even in church, some people have church and they never get in that spiritual environment. So somebody says, well, what we need more of if we're going to reach the world is miracles. Well, how do you have miracles? You certainly want to remember when you're talking about miracles that the Bible says these signs shall follow them, with signs following, not signs leading. So I would propose to you, you don't have to go just seeking miracles. You have to go doing what the Spirit leading and guiding is saying inside the walking in the Spirit environment. And it's kind of like walking through a field. Oftentimes I've used the expression, when you walk through a field, you get some of the field on you. You get the field dust on your shoes, and you get some of the residue on your clothes. And in many fields, when you walk through them, you smell like them. You walk through a tomato patch, when you get out of it, you'll smell like tomatoes. So these fields have their own centers of power. And a person cannot be in those fields without being affected. So there are Holy Ghost fields. When you walk in the Holy Ghost field, then you get the Holy Ghost residue instead of getting some stinky residue, some bad residue, or some useless residue. We get the residue of the Holy Ghost. So I would say one of the things people have to learn, and it can be learned, is walking in the Spirit and how to listen and how to hear the voice of God and how to act accordingly. Those are things that people can learn. Now, you can't learn them in an atmosphere that doesn't have them occurring. You have to learn them within a climate, within an environment where spiritual revelation is welcome, and where a person walks in it and embraces it instead of resists it. So you got these two things going on in the church today. You got the revelation and the proof that it's revelation by the fact that it's fulfilling Scripture to reproduce and to multiply. That's part of the blessing, and that's part of the mandate. And so churches that are growing are reproducing and they're multiplying. And if they continue to pursue reaching out to the world, miracles start following. And so this is not like rocket science, but it does have some things you have to know, and it does have some disciplines that go with it. When you reject all that, and when you find ways to preach stuff to negate all that, and you don't want all that, look, you don't have to fight all that too hard. If you don't want it, God's not going to ram it down your throat. You don't have to worry about God ramming it down your throat. In frustration, we may try to ram it down your throat, but not God. He's not going to try to ram it. He's just going to leave you alone. And you're going to go on in your little climate that is non-productive or minimally productive. And you're going to continue to encourage each other that we're good, we're good, this is good, we're together, when God really wants to break through. But somebody in your group somewhere is going to be hungry. They're going to be thirsty. They're going to be passionate. They're going to see the book of Acts and say, I don't think I'm replicating that like I'm supposed to. They're going to begin, and then they're going to begin to be blessed, and they begin to have revival, and they begin to walk in this spiritual climate, and they begin to receive revelation, and they begin to grow, and that growth presses against everybody that's not growing. And so that creates conflict unless those that are not growing are willing to acquiesce and say, tell us we want to grow. Or unless the ones growing acquiesce and say, okay, to keep your favor, I'll let you cut my eyes out. And so that's a choice. That's the choices we have. You can't have vision and not have vision and really walk hand in hand. So we're thankful today. We're thankful for God directing us and leading us. And it's a probing kind of lifestyle. It's not like you've got this little book over here. This little book here has a bunch of stuff. This is mine. And you look through it. And on page 6, you've got a little map there on what to do tomorrow. No, that's not how it works. You may have a map of what to do tomorrow, and it'll say, get up and pray and get a hold of God. He'll tell you what to do. Now, you already know a lot of things you ought to be doing, so if he don't tell you what to do, do the things you already know that you ought to be doing. So do we want revival? That's a big question. Do we want God to bless us like that? Or are we trying to justify where we're at as being truly apostolic? Those are good questions. In fact, those are good questions to ponder for the rest of this week, and I challenge you to ponder them. And let's talk about them. And let's try to be better, and let's try to match up to the biblical examples of leadership that God has left for us. God bless you.